Right, right. Question was.
I'd like to call to order this regularly scheduled City of Mountain Park City Council meeting for Monday, October 30th. If you folks would not mind, please join me in the pledge of allegiance.
Pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right. I will now ask the city clerk to please call roll.
Robin Auerbach.
Here.
Mark Murphy.
Here.
Jim Still.
Present.
Carol Silver.
Present.
Emily Myers.
Present.
All right, next item is we don't have any disposition of absences, it's the financial report.
The ending bank balances as of September 30th, 2023 are in the general fund, $1,227,660.99, enterprise fund, $513,434.28, ARPA has $139,073.64, Court is $33,051.23. Lake Restoration, $343,084.26. MPDFR has $5,675.15. SPLOST has $50,310.75. T-SPLOST 1 has $469,289.18. T-SPLOST 2 has $167,335.53 for a total bank balance of $2,948,915.01. Performance for the month of September 2023, revenues in the enterprise fund were $30,555.95. Expenses in the enterprise fund were $52,118.34. For a net deficit income of $29,562.39. Revenues in the general fund were $239,175.13. Expenses in the general fund were $31,638.19. For a net income of $207,536.94.
Was the influx in the general fund really anything special?
It was from the tax revenue that we add into the numbers.
All right. Anybody else? All right. The next item is the regular council meeting for 9/25/2023. Chair will entertain a motion.
Make a motion to approve the minutes from 9/25/23 council meeting.
All right. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Councilperson Auerbach. Discussion? All those in favor? And it is unanimous. Thank you. Chair will entertain a motion to adopt the agenda meeting. The meeting agenda, excuse me.
Make a motion to adopt the meeting agenda.
As written. Do I have a second?
Second.
All right, second by Councilperson Auerbach. Any discussion? All those in favor? And it is unanimous. Thank you. Mayor's report. I'll start off by saying I know this has been a difficult time for some people in this community, and I know it has been for me because we lost one of the most renowned and well-known citizens of this community. She was an icon in some respects because she was a leader in more ways than you can imagine, not only for women in general, but also for this community as the mayor. Joyce Ayers passed, and never really had thought about how much she meant to me until I started thinking about how I got involved with this community. Joyce came to me and asked me to get involved with the Citizens Review and Advisory Board, and I did that for a year and didn't have any idea that she was setting me up for for something for city council. And then from there, Joyce was always very good for advice. She was one of those individuals that she didn't waffle a lot. You know, she may think a moment, but when she gave you an answer, it was always a good, solid answer. And so I want to just kind of share some of the information that was shared in her service, this beautiful service that she had at the Roswell Mountain Methodist Church. Joyce was born August 2nd, 1930 to Thomas Albert Huggins and Ophelia Elizabeth Lewis Huggins in Atlanta, Georgia. She worked for 30 years. After 30 years of service, Joyce retired from the Center of Disease Control, where she was over technical information of preventable diseases. In addition to many other innovations, she implemented and managed the CDC's AIDS hotline when the disease emerged as a global health threat. Joyce served as mayor of her treasured city of Mountain Park for many years. She also held several other state and county positions, president of North Fulton Council for Governor, director of Atlanta Regional Commission, and director of North Fulton Chamber of Commerce. While her joys cannot be while her accomplishments cannot be understated, her greatest joy in life was her family. There was always things to celebrate: birthdays, holidays, ball games, races, field trips, and places near and far. Joyce and Big Lou also participated in many activities while their children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren were in school. Activities such as Eagle Guide, Indian Guides, Cub Scouts, Little League, football games, cheerleader camps, chorus and musical plays, band and choral concerts. Joyce will be missed and is loved by all in this community, and God bless you, Joyce. I'm still a little mad at you about getting here, but that's okay. We will miss her. I apologize. I have picked up somebody else's glasses, and I think they're not readers. They're prescription. It's making it a little challenging for me. Yeah. Are they reader? I don't know. Let's see. I'm okay. I don't have anything else to read. I just wanted to read that information because it's a little more concise. We got the information back from the Oktoberfest, and I would like to say that I think it was a complete success. We raised not quite as much money as last year, but we did end up. Robin, do you want to get that information in your report?
Sure.
Yeah, I'll let you do that. But we did well. We spent a little bit more. The axe throwing, I think, was a solid hit. People have asked about, well, are we going to have that again next year? I think once people got comfortable with seeing that it was not a dangerous thing, the line was backed up all the way out here to the patio. So we certainly would benefit from having that again, and then any other activities that we can to keep it interesting. So that went well. I was privileged to be a part of a summit for North Fulton Greater Chamber of Commerce. Last Thursday, it was a summit of business leaders in North Fulton and elected officials. The six mayors had a panel where we talked about the future of North Fulton as we saw it in the next 5 to 10 years, what we felt like needed to be done and what needed to be kept an eye on. I made the point that as a small residential community, we spend all of our money in their towns. We have to get to their towns to go out to restaurants and things of that nature. So I was really interested in hearing what they had to say they were going to be doing for the next 5 to 10 years. But I did talk about our place in this North Fulton area, and its quality of life, environmental quality of life and residential quality of life. And we have a really close, neat community or a gym in the North Fulton area. And I was very proud to talk about how, you know, we don't always agree on everything, but when it comes down to Mountain Park, we all are on the same page. So certainly proud to be a part of that. That's it for the mayor's report. Are there any council members that would like to report? Robin?
And as I'm sure you all know, Joyce and Lou Ayers founded MPVFR in 1978.
Yes.
I'm going to give an MPVFR update report and request it via email by some citizens. And from now on, I'm hoping maybe the chief will join us on Wednesday nights for work session to do the report. So the budget for the MPDFR this fiscal year is $19,343. As of 9/30/23, they have spent $62,98.92. They have a balance left of $13,044.08. The bank balance as of 9/30/23 was $9,896.93, netted $3,127.69 from Oktoberfest, plus a $50 donation came in yesterday. So the total in their bank account reserves right now is $13,074.62. That with the $13,044.08 that's left over from the budget, they're pretty good for the rest of the year. Two grants are pending. So staffing, briefly, it took a while to build the base, but now it is really taking off. Rarely is there only one staff anymore at the fire station. Currently, the station is staffed at least 100 a week, 100 hours a week and more. Of 168 hours possible, that's approximately 60% of the time. And it's actually more than that. I went to double-check the log today, and they have increased staffing tremendously. It's a vast improvement from a year ago or even a month ago. As volunteers complete training, more and more will be on staff. So an open records request mid-September is no longer accurate. If you went and got another one today, it would be different. If you got another one next week, it would be different. Staffing is, they're doing great. Most Mondays are staffed from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. At least two are on staff, sometimes three. And they're typically firefighter, BLS, basic life support, and advanced EMT. Tuesday, same thing, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., same staffing. Wednesday a.m. through Friday morning, 48 hours are staffed around the clock, 3 to 5 are on staff. It does vary because of people's work schedules, and they do change shifts according to people's work schedules. But of those 3 to 5 on staff on Wednesday through Friday, we have firefighters, drivers, paramedics, and advanced EMTs. Wednesday's the same. Thursday is staffed 7 a.m. to 7 a.m. Friday. Friday is 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Saturday. That's 48 hours. So right now it looks like there's no staffing on Sunday or Monday or Tuesday night. This will change very soon. One firefighter is almost completed with his recertification, and he will be back. He will be staffing 1 to 2 shifts a week. All firefighters are trained in basic life support. Two volunteers have recently completed their off-site advanced EMT training. One of them is already shifting 1 to 2, sometimes 3 12-hour shifts a week, and the other one should start soon. So you got to remember that less than 4% of all calls nationwide are for fire, less than 4%. I think it's even less than that in Mountain Park, because we didn't have fires for, what, a decade or longer until the end of last year and the first of this year, when we had kind of a weird situation. Just so y'all know, when I was spreading mulch for the Mineral Springs garden, at 10:30, our fire engine, followed by our squad, headed to Birdland, followed by the ambulance, AMR. It was a full 10 minutes later before Roswell rolled around the corner. That doesn't mean Roswell is bad. Roswell is great, but it just does go to show that as we have staffing, we can respond sooner. And the people that responded that day, there were two firefighters, let me double check that. I don't want to say anything wrong. Yep, two firefighters, one paramedic, and two emergency medical responders. So most of our volunteers are cross-trained. Some of them have 4 to 5 different certifications. The last thing is records. Our contract, our IGA with Roswell for E911 and fire, both of those contracts require that Roswell provide us with reports that can include volume of 911 calls for service, identification of the service location, responding Mountain Park fire apparatus, transfer time to Fulton County dispatch for police requests, nature of the incident, and call times, all originating from the city of Mountain Park. So there is no reason why our chief should have to manually do these reports. Our chief has requested the reports, but they have not been received. Our mayor called today and got a...
I'll follow up with that too, because I spoke to them again. I'll tell you.
But you got a really good, you got a response. At least you got a response right then. We'll check on it now and they'll...
Well, he did, and he came back to me and said that because the contract was signed, the IGA was signed in September, the first full month that it was in effect is October.
What?
So we haven't had a full month yet. They said they will have those reports. We will have those reports by the end of this week because.
But it was dated July 1st.
It doesn't matter. It was not signed. I think Jennifer can speak to that.
We signed it, yes. Uh-huh. So we signed and agreed to it first, then they had to get it, present it, and.
Yeah, and then by the time they got the state, by the time they actually signed it, before it was presented to the fire chief and the police chief, it was at the end of September, so it was the first full month of October that we will get the reporting starting at the end of this
month. Well, that's great.
And they assured me that that would be the case. They're supposed to
provide them monthly, which is fabulous. Yes. So everybody that's anxious to have these reports, we should have them then.
I also received their contact information, direct contact information for any requests for meetings with them on a monthly basis if I wanted to do that. Or my designee, which, we would see, who would wind up being the best person to meet with them if it was the chief or who. But they've assured me and the chief of staff over there, which I'd like to thank Jamie Gazzetti for helping me get this sorted out. They assured us that they will abide by that contract to make sure we have the information we need.
Great. What about, would that be the same contact to find out if, in fact, Roswell provides all those services that... MPDFR provides to the community?
I think that would probably be something we would want to speak to Chief Panino or Chief Conway about and see what their understanding of that is. And if not, we can take it up to the chief staff and the mayor or whatever.
Okay.
Right now, I will tell you this, as it is the political silly season, nobody's going to make any real rash decisions until after November 7th to see how the chips fall, and so they're going to wait and see what kind of council they got to work with before they can, they want to start bringing stuff to them like this. So.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
For following up on that, Jim. That's all I've got.
All right. Any of the council members?
I have an update. This is also on the topic of MPDFR. Over the last 4 to 6 weeks, we engaged a small working group of residents from different perspectives on the topic, and those residents were actively involved and listened to the town hall on the MPDFR discussion. They could sort of hear some of the frequently asked questions or the common themes that came up often in that meeting, and decided that it would be helpful to put all of those questions and information into one document. And I believe at the town hall we promised to get back with people who had asked a question and the question wasn't actually addressed in the town hall. Instead of that, we've combined it into this document and made sure that this gets out to every single resident. So it won't just be to the people who have requested it, it will go to everyone. That working group had, as I said, people from both sides of the MPDFR, the pro, the con discussion, but also a couple members who are undecided at this point. And so they really helped us determine what should be on a document that would represent the full topic. Each issue that we need to explore, each question that comes up often for them or within their circle in the Mountain Park community. So we put together the document, council batted it around several times, each member of council gave input, and has now been finalized, hopefully. So tonight we're here just to approve this as an official city document. And then either members of that working group or zone captains will get this out to every single person's home. Got a stack of flyers ready to go, so just wanted to...
Can we bring something up now, or do you want to wait?
I was going to wait until we send the agenda. But...
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Well, the original question about taxes was, what percentage is it of the entire budget? Not just property taxes, but the entire budget.
Mm-hmm.
So the formula for that is you take the entire budget and divide it into the MPDFR budget. But the question got changed along the way. So
yeah, this
Mark is,
I guess we're going to do it now.
Yeah.
So it says property tax. So.
Well, let's see. Come out. We will get to that. We can start with that, but we need to see if there's any other committees that have any comments or anything they like to have, and then this city hall report, and then we can go forward from there.
Sure.
While it's still fresh on our minds. So.
Sure. Do you want to hold this until we get to that part of
the Yeah, let's hold. Let's get the reports out of the way first, and,
okay.
and not jump too far ahead, because
okay,
that's the
sure.
last item on the new business. So.
Sure. So that's just to share the work of that working group. In addition to the flyer, I wanted to share an update on our waste management services. I understand that There were some people that didn't get their items dumped on dumpster day. We were really shocked. I think I know Jennifer was shocked by how quickly the dumpster filled up on the first day. And we found out that day that they couldn't pick it up on a weekend. So Jennifer had to have them haul it away that Friday with the expectation that we couldn't get another one again until Monday. And so, you know, didn't want to leave it over the weekend and have it just accumulate items. Didn't want to have people who don't live here using the dumpster. And so Jennifer made the executive decision and the right decision to have that full dumpster removed. And so I did just want to explain that and please share with anyone who asks questions about it. We simply filled it up and ran into the weekend and don't have availability to replace one over the weekend. And so I think what we plan to discuss next is possibly another Friday or, you know, some other arrangement during the week. We're positioning the dumpster in a place that won't be quite so visible to people who don't live in Mountain Park. maybe we could actually keep it over the weekend and just know that only residents are using it. It's still a work in progress. It's still something we're trying to figure out. The other piece of the puzzle is we have to pay for a new dumpster each and every time. I'm going to crunch the numbers. I didn't have a chance to do that today, and I know we were kind of the way that it looks to me, and again, I'll get the final figures, it looks as if the RAC sanitation costs are less in terms of what residents pay every month, but Waste Pro included 12 months worth of dumpsters, and we're only getting two for the year with that cost. And so the additional cost to get a new dumpster, I think will pretty much even out with what Waste Pro charged us. It's just a matter of whether we pay it every month in your, you know, along with your water bill, or if we as a city are absorbing that blow by getting additional dumpsters every time we have one of these weekends. So again, I will get the figures on that, and we as a group and with your feedback need to determine the best way to make the best use of that particular resource.
All right. Are you taking questions on it?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
All right. Dee?
When the contract was up, the statement was that twice a year, a dumpster would be delivered and it would be replaced. There was no dissecting weekends, not available, not this. So you're saying that was the contract misleading or was the public misled?
You know, I'd like to know that as well.
Those were the statements made in meetings.
Right, yeah, right. Well, that's what I was told by the owner of the company. Now, what I haven't seen is the actual contract.
Yeah, I don't think it specifically stated all of those details in the response.
Mm-hmm. It didn't.
No, it didn't outline all of the details
of how the dumpster would be,
yes,
be handled.
Yes, of how
it was verbal. Just that verbalized it that it was going to be replaced until
just that
forever
it
was
twice a year.
The way that it was stated was something to the effect of we'll use it for an entire weekend. So instead of once a month, which the owner actually said is not offered, that's kind of unheard of with other companies. That I guess only Waste Pro offers that monthly dumpster day. That what they do is a dumpster weekend twice a year, and it was sort of a, that's the weekend when, yeah, I can't remember, that's the weekend, the dumpster would be available all weekend, I think is the way that he had phrased it with me. So.
But he didn't say whether it was going to be the same dumpster that was full, or
right,
whether it was going to be a dumpster, was it be available with place to put stuff in. Because
right,
you're right, if we had left it there overnight on Friday night, there would have been garbage all around it.
Everywhere,
just
because
it was full, and they would have, people would just start putting it out.
It'd be like a magnet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. I saw another hand. Robin, did you have a question? Was your hand up a little
bit? I was going to ask if you had had a chance to reread the contract that Jennifer already addressed that. Mm-hmm. And what about calling the guy that you spoke with and get him to clarify?
I remember there was some conversation with Logan before the actual dumpster day. We were kind of confirming the details, where the dumpster would go, what hours, what days, all of that. And I know Logan contacted him at the time, Jennifer, to get details. Did that come up at all in the communication with him?
I can't answer. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't have those communications in front of me to be able to answer that question. I would make the assumption that she was just setting up the time and the day.
Yeah.
I think
time I said something, confirm with him the plans for the...
Only Logan can answer that, or I have to look through to see what documentation I have on that.
Right.
Marvin, you had your hand up first and then one.
Well, a couple things. Actually, anybody familiar with the dumpster knows it fills up in 2 hours. And it's filled up in 2 hours for the last 5 years. And we've hired Mike down there to check IDs, which was good. Plus, we had the bonus of him scrapping metal, which didn't go to the landfill. And so I'd like to see the city, even though the contract has just said to look into providing a dumpster monthly and what the fee that would be. And it wouldn't have to be through this company. It could be through another company. And I think that having it come Friday morning, you know, doesn't really give everybody a fair chance to use the dumpster.
Yeah.
And people need to know that, you know, and in fact it should be put in the newsletter, that the dumpster does fill up in 2 hours. If you're not there between 8, that's the reason our other agreement was they came and picked it up by 10 or even 11, you know, but basically first thing in that day.
Yeah.
And like you're all discussing, you put it out on Friday and you leave it, they'll just pile up around it. And, you know, these are things that are sort of known. But I would like to see the council looking into having that, you know, because we don't have it being picked up anymore.
All right.
I will look at that.
Thank you. Juan?
I'm along the same lines as Marvin. Sitting here, I believed it was sold that it was dumpster weekend. Mm-hmm. And when it filled up, they would bring another one and they would do this all weekend long. And we would have this advantage in the fall and in the spring. And that was the sell, because we weren't going to have dumpster the first Saturday of every month, which people were very accustomed to. And to the point, it filled up. I mean, a couple of hours and it was done. And so anybody that's surprised, you had never been to Dumpster Day, apparently, you should not be surprised that the dumpster fills that quickly. I think it makes sense that the dumpster was taken away on Friday for those reasons, but I fully expected there would be replacement dumpsters all weekend long, like was shared in this room when it happened. So I think people, that was one of the reasons people were willing to agree with, hey, let's go with them. They'll do it a full dumpster weekend. I can plan for that. I can save my stuff. And all my stuff will get taken, and that didn't happen. And I think people are disappointed. I will also submit that they were supposed to look in your recycle and make sure. My recycle is now picked up with the automatic truck. There's nobody getting out to look at anything. That happened this week. I don't know if that'll be normal or not. I don't mix my recycle, so I know mine was good, but they're not getting out and looking at as they said they would. You know, so we also know that they changed hands. It's a different company now.
It's a different,
I don't know.
It's the same person.
Right, but it's still not the same as it was a year ago. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if all that had anything to do with it or not, but I think there are people that feel like it's not what we were sold, mm-hmm. and we were better off with the other people, at least from a dumpster perspective, because you knew and you could plan for everything.
Well, I think it would be good to look into seeing if even if it's a separate company, like Marvin said, another dumpster service that we could utilize. So. Robin?
Just a couple of comments. My recycling gets picked up separately every week.
I'm separate. It was just the automatic truck came by and picked it up.
Well,
nobody opened the lid.
Contaminated is what she's saying.
Nobody opened the lid to see what was in it. It was a separate truck.
Maybe they know you're a good recycler.
They have a report.
My whole street.
I don't know.
I trust you.
But the other thing is, you know, we're all disappointed. We all understood or thought we were going to have that continuous dumpster. So nobody purposely misled anybody. It was just, I don't know, somebody's going to follow up, I guess.
See, you know, he described it as a dumpster weekend. I didn't coin that term, that like a dumpster weekend. So it could have been just implied that it could have been, you know, that he never imagined that we would use it up as quickly as we did. You know, I don't know, but I would like to talk with him, Jennifer, if I can, since we spoke about this originally. And I'd like to find out I'd like to share the feedback about the recycling, because he told me that their staff would get out, look at every single container. If there's anything contaminated, they would leave it until next week to get picked up in the trash. That was just about verbatim what he told me. So I'd like to speak with him directly if I can.
I think our challenge, I'm somewhat of a trash expert, because I put on events on the weekend. Yeah. I put on events on the weekend. I've dealt with 3 or 4 different trash companies, and none of them run on the weekend. because they don't want to have their people working.
Right.
So my concern is that unless we find a unique one out there that does run, I don't know what we're going to be able to do.
Yeah.
Well, it might be just a dumpster company, like for the job construction site. So they it's not like a garbage company. It would be, it might be just a dumpster company. I know Apollo or Olympic, they were, you know, they would drop a dumpster whenever you needed it. You needed it on Sunday, you needed it on Friday, you needed it on Wednesday. So, but that was a while back. So.
Yeah. Well, I know those were Waste Pro staff running dumpster day, right? That was Waste Pro. That wasn't a dumpster company. So maybe they're just large enough to be able to handle that part of the business as well.
All right. Anyone else? No? All right. Any more reports? City Hall.
I really don't have any new news to report at this point.
All right. We did see Logan today. All she right. looked great. The baby looks great.
He has hair.
Yeah. I think he's still under warranty, I think. I mean, it's great. it was good to see her. Good to have her back. So, we couldn't talk her into starting on Monday, but anyway. So, we've got the flyer. You already brought it up. You've already described it. You've already discussed it. We'll go ahead and address it, even though it's way down under new business on the agenda.
I know, I got excited.
I know, you get a lot for that.
That was my update, too.
And I would like to submit that we need to make sure that we do discuss these things in the work sessions. I know we had some email exchanges. I know there was some discussion about whether this could be approved for, being put out by the city if everybody agreed. But the attorney at the work session did state that these type of things do have to be voted on in the public meeting. I think that's why I made it to the agenda tonight, but we certainly need to have a conversation about, what council feels like needs to be done in this case. So, would you like to start? Or you want her to go through again?
Go right ahead.
Okay. I just didn't know if she wanted to say anything else about it before we started.
Say anything else? I wanted to, Brandon also confirmed that we do not have to vote to have a town hall.
No,
we can just do it. And the only reason we have to vote on this document is because we wanted it to be council approved.
Mm-hmm.
If it had just been a working group document, we wouldn't have had it.
Exactly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Anybody have any questions or comments? Yes,
so
sir.
My only issue, and we've actually collaborated on this document for a while now, my only issue is the under the section where it says, does having MPVFR increase our taxes? The calculation is done off property taxes paid, which I think is appropriate because it's a lot less, because that's what really is coming out of the citizens' pockets. Mm-hmm. So, but the issue is it's closer to 9% if we keep it based on the property taxes the citizens pay. And so I like that either adjusted or the verbiage changed to say it is X percent, probably 3.3% of the city budget is correct. I'm not sure that's not as relevant, but it's still accurate.
Your point is taken. The original question was, what is the expense of the department as a percentage of the overall Mountain Park budget? And I'm sorry I didn't catch that in when we were, it went back and forth so many times. Sorry.
And this is the final version that went out to everyone.
Right.
So,
Yeah.
There was an opportunity,
but we've got to fix it because it's incorrect.
Yes,
yeah.
Right. Sure, that's fine. We'll fix it.
Any other questions or comments? Chair will entertain a motion.
So if we're going to fix, can we make a motion to approve with that change?
With the corrections or changes discussed. Yes.
Okay. I make a motion to approve the MPVFR FAQ flyer. With the noted changes.
All right, I have a motion. Do I have a second? Second by Councilperson Auerbach. Any more discussion? All those in favor, designate by show of hands, and it is unanimous. Thank you, folks. So you'll get those changes or corrections
To
the
yep.
Thank you. Now we will go back up to the consent agenda. Everyone has seen everything that's on that. We discussed it. So. Chair will entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
All right, do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Councilperson Myers. Any more discussion? All those in favor? And it is unanimous. Thank you. Quick house cleaning. All right, dropping down to unfinished business. First item on the agenda is consideration of award for the Russell Road Pike Rehabilitation T-Splash Project. Who would like to take this one?
I am pleased to make a motion for the consideration of the award for the Russell Road Pike Rehabilitation T-Splash Project.
You need to state who is, like, you need to make a more specific statement.
Like, who are you going to approve?
I'm reading directly what is on here.
But that's
wrong.
That's not what the motion needs to be. The motion
the
needs
ISC
to state.
The ISC work authorization for the 2023, yes. Is that what we're talking about?
That's just on the girls.
Someone else needs to do this. I don't think I even have that paper.
Here you go.
You need to state the name of the company specifically, not just the work authorization.
Okay, let's try it again. I am pleased to make a motion to approve the award for the Russell Road Pike Rehabilitation T-SPOS project as proposed by Integrated Science and Engineering. I gotta have an amount.
Is that what's
at the bottom?
Yeah.
Right here.
You need to state the name of the company.
I did that.
No.
No, you didn't.
Integrated Science and Engineering.
No.
Either one of these companies?
For the Vortex Services Limited Liability Corporation for the sum total of $524,510.00. How'd that go?
All right, and we have a second with Councilperson Auerbach. All right. Anybody have any questions or comments or any clarifications on that? Are we all clear on what the motion?
The comment is it was going to be $1.2 to $1.9 million, and Bill got a company, Dana from ISC managed to come back with a different project that cut the cost down, even though it's still pretty hefty.
Yeah.
Saved us a ton of money.
Everybody clear on who the company is and how much?
Yes.
All right. All those in favor, designate by show of hands. It is unanimous. Thank you. All right. Next item under consideration is gutter repair estimate from K-Style Gutters. Who's taking this one?
Well, you had me down for it, and I'm flipping through papers now.
Yes.
There is a second piece, and maybe we can vote on this next month, but we do have to also extend that T-SPLOS 2 can be used for the project because of the amount of funds are not all in T-SPLOS 1.
Yeah, we can do that next month. We can add that. Just be sure it gets on the agenda and it's clear that that's what it's for.
Okay.
Because these funds for this T-SPLOS will not cover the full amount. We are in a position and able to use some of the funds from the upcoming T-SPLOS to finish the project. So
is it this?
But then we added another 100 bucks or something. And I don't know what it was.
This, I guess.
Carol, we've got the document.
I found it.
Okay, good.
I'm looking for, I can't find my notes from the work session.
Yeah,
who was supposed to take
this?
I
got it from the work session.
Well, yeah, just for who was going to take this.
I was supposed to take it.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, y'all, I'm gun shy. Mm. I don't know what it's supposed to sound like now. Let me try it. I'm going to make a motion to approve the gutter repair estimate from K-Style Gutters for the gutters, roof, downspouts, fascia, and drainage of the community building. Subtotal for all four sections, $13,600. Ancillary considerations for the sum total of $2,700.
Do I have a second?
No, I didn't get it right. Okay. You guys do it.
It's okay.
So my recollection is we added the $5,000 in addition to the downspouts and fascia, which even I can spell right now. We added metal roofing at the storage shed for $5,000. Then we killed on Bill's recommendation the gutter covers. So that led the first segment to be $10,800 because we reduced 13.6 by $2,800. And then we approved, we were for everything in this ancillary considerations for $2,700. So the approved, total approved amount is $13,500.
Okay. Councilman Murphy, please make that into the form of a motion.
Please do.
Yes. And be specific.
I make a motion to approve the gutter roof downspout / Estacia drainage community building for K-style gutters in the amount of $13,500.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Councilperson Auerbach. Any more discussion?
Yeah.
Any more clarity?
Okay.
All right. Yes, sir.
Doesn't matter to me. I'm happy to do it. You want me to spearhead the project manager of this to keep everything going online on target. That was one of the things in the document that I prepared, and I just wondered if you want my name attached to this as a project manager, not your call. Council's call.
So we need to amend the motion?
No, we don't. We just need to agree on that. Let's vote on the motion first, and then we'll talk about that. All right. Motion on the table is to approve K-style gutters at an estimate of $13,500. Is there any more questions about that? All right. All those in favor designate by a show of hands. And it is unanimous. Thank you. Now that we got that out of the way. The offer is that you would head up this project. Is there the will of council to have councilman, I mean to have a citizen Colbrunner to run this project for the city?
Yes.
In agreement?
Yes.
Thank you, Bill. Yes, please. All right. All right. Item number three under unfinished business. The second read adoption of the ordinance amending certain fees and penalties within the code of ordinances. I think we've all kind of chewed this one over.
I make a motion to approve the second read and adoption of the ordinance amending certain fees and penalties within the code of ordinances.
All right. Do I have a second? Second by Councilperson Myers. Any questions? Yes, sir.
I have a document that Robin gave me, and are these fees still going to be the same on the house numbers, $35 for each day?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Isn't that a little much?
Are you planning on taking your house numbers down, Dora? I mean, Marvin?
No, but I think...
We haven't had a problem with this in a long time.
I know, but I'm saying that the way it reads is you're going to charge somebody $35 each day.
And
you know, it might... You might get your notice on Friday, you might not be able to get numbers till, you know, Tuesday or Wednesday, and then you're gonna get charged $35.
Two things. I think that's probably more at the discretion of the city solicitor and the court. If they can do that, I think most ordinances in our books actually are a day-to-day penalty. For every day you could be fined for the violation or of non-compliance. We talked about this. We felt like that it was a minor technicality in terms of it would not be a mandatory fine of every day. And if it was a blatant and a egregious violation that could create a public safety issue, meaning they couldn't find your house if there were gunshots or fire, then someone could hold them to that level of penalty.
Okay. Well, that one still, Amazon actually solved that problem, period.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there was one more thing, Marvin, during the work session, you know, I suggested we just get rid of it, but the consensus was that no, we need to leave it just because it hasn't been a problem in forever.
If somebody, you know, their mailbox gets knocked down and they just are too sorry to put it back up and fix it, then they would be in violation, and you're right. Amazon couldn't find them, pizza delivery, fire trucks.
It's already working. I was driving home today, and I saw John McLaughlin kneeling by his mailbox, and I go, why is he praying out in front of his mailbox? And I saw if he wasn't praying, he's actually applying numbers.
Putting his
numbers. Rob scared the hell out of him.
So, you know, I think it's just going to be there for that one exception that somebody would take with having to have their house number because they didn't want to be found, which was the reason why the numbering was so random and inconsistent.
Well, that was a code enforcement officer at the time deciding that he could not find houses. The fire department knew where those houses were. But the code enforcement officer was not smart enough.
Well, I was over the code enforcement officer on BZP and city council, and I was confused too about where, was it this walnut or this walnut over here? So we had to do something.
Okay, well then I have another one too on the temporary parking permit. Is that going to be raised to $10 still?
Mm-hmm. And the answer is yes.
The other question with that is, it says that you have to get it from City Hall 24 hours in advance in writing during regular business hours. So that means these permits would be only available when city was open. And if you had a reason that happened on Friday afternoon, you were not able to get a permit till Monday.
We did discuss that too, and the answer to that was you can go onto the website and the government window will actually allow you to purchase the parking permit at that time online.
Okay, well, I'll test that out.
All right. Please do, let us know if it's working, because we had a little issue, we had a little hiccup with the Oktoberfest. They had the wrong date in there for the event. They had October 22nd, and it was the 21st, so please let us know if it's wrong.
The other thing about that is you can't print the actual temporary permit, but you can print the email and put it on your mailbox. Yes.
Okay, and then another little question, would the City Hall follow-up notifying the fire department that these permits were issued, because that was part of the deal back then? Was the fire department wanting to know
if there was going to be street parking? Yes.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, on the weekends, there's not a way for me to do that if it's done through that means.
And you know,
to email.
Well, if you're not on the weekends, if you're not here. But here's one thing I would say is that it might be that we can set up with the new website once we get that up. That if there is a purchase online of a parking permit, it might send a notification to the public relations officer or someone for the fire department to let them know that in fact there will be an event on Saturday at 2 o'clock and the street may be crowded. So that's a good thing to look into.
Well, and again, just another little side note for City Hall would be is these are some of the things that should be posted in the newsletter, which people don't really read. Mm-hmm. But we keep reposting silly stuff that we've already read a dozen times when there's all these little things in our codes that most people do not even have a clue about, like even yard sales.
Okay.
You know, those things. We need more. They should be rotating what's in the code on the thing. So
that's noted.
2 cents on that.
All right. Thanks, Martin. Anybody else? Or did Martin cover it all? I think we got our... All right, all those in favor, please designate by a show of hands. It is unanimous. Thank you. It passes. All right. Now we'll move on to new business. First item under new business is the consideration of a leak adjustment reimbursement for a PRV replacement for the closes. Who had this one?
I make a motion to compensate the closes for their PRV replacement valve.
All right. Do I have a second?
There's two parts.
There's actually two parts.
I thought he was going to do
the different parts. You can do two separate. I just want to make sure that we are aware there's two parts.
Okay. I thought maybe he was going to do one.
No, that's right. Okay.
All right. Do I have a second on the first motion? Second by Councilperson Alba. Discussion.
The reason for my promoting this, us paying for it, is because it seemed evident that work that was done either on the immediate area was they broke that pipe and the dirt and the gravel got into the PRV valve, causing it to fail rather than just it failing on its own. So that was my rationale.
All right. Any comments?
Emily Hager.
Sorry.
So my concern about that is it sounded as if there was a high water bill the month before and maybe even one the month before. I know July was high. July was not high. Okay. Okay.
We're also just talking about the PRV replacement, not the water bill yet.
Right. Well, just in general, I put them in the same category. Was there, there was no overage before the smart water meter was installed?
I did outline earlier today, but yes. So the meter was installed in July. There was no overages at all prior to the last time when they were at council last year in July.
Right, okay.
So I don't know if maybe that's where the July is coming from, but last July, I think, was when they had the other high water bill. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This time, the meter was installed, but there was a normal reading. So it had a totally normal reading the first read.
Okay, gotcha.
And then the next bill was the large bill.
Okay.
And then September, it went back down to the normal range.
Yeah, what I saw was July 2023, there was one reading before the final read on the old meter.
Yeah, that was 4,000 gallons. And then the new meter had one, I forget the exact 15, I'm trying to, I don't know if I put that in my stuff.
You want to see?
Yes, so.
Yeah, I'm looking for that too.
There was two readings, 4320 from the old meter and 1159 from the new meter, for the total of 5474. That's not an unusually high usage.
Okay.
August usage was all on the new meter, and that was 18,000. That was the high usage reading. And then in September, it went back down to 6,000 in the reading.
Leak was
in the gallons.
The leak was repaired.
Well, there wasn't a. That's the thing is they. That's why it's here.
Yeah.
If there was a leak and it was repaired, it wouldn't be at council. The only reason why it's here is because we can't determine, as a, like we at the city have been unable to determine anything that has occurred that created that high water usage. At
the, this point. The plumber visited on September 26th. Okay, that answers my question.
All right. And we're still talking about just the leak adjustment, correct?
No, just BRP.
I know, that's why we kind of got more into the leak adjustment question.
All right, I wasn't sure because I thought, I thought it was
perfect. She was asking in relation to the PRB, I know, it's.
I heard something you said in the meeting made me, it sounded as if maybe there was an issue even prior to, but it was prior to Ardito coming, not prior to Fort Line installing this.
So the only issue they've ever had was over a year, actually almost about a year ago from this one.
This particular issue
was
first reported in between the smart water.
This was after the smart water meter was installed.
Okay.
It had a totally normal reading, the first reading.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second reading was the high reading.
Okay.
Nothing happened in between there. There was no, if I would have to think that if there was an abnormally high reading, we would have started seeing that immediately.
Mm-hmm.
If there was an issue with the install. There was no leak, no leaking because of the installation.
Yeah.
I think what you may be referring to is there is a small little seal.
Mm-hmm.
That seal was not a major leak.
Right.
It literally, Ardito went to look at it and that's all he could find was this.
It was more like a sweat.
Yes.
Sweat, just
because
very gradual.
It wasn't, it was just a little off. But it wasn't enough to create what that amount of usage was. It wouldn't have even probably ever been noticed had he not gone out to look at it.
And then when did the PVC pipe get cracked? I know we should know this, we've already talked
That's when
about
they
it.
Were doing the repair on that little
okay.
seal.
Okay, got it. All right.
All right,
yes.
Jamie, you have a question?
So a lot of information, but just with respect to the replacement of the PRV valve, I think it's a good idea. I mean, if there's work done that damages a resident's pressure relief valve in the water heater, then that should be considered. This kind of sets a precedent for that.
Yes, I would like to say that.
Hang on.
I don't mean to interrupt.
You said it, and there was no way that
you cannot do that. It's on the homeowner's side. I want to say it out loud. You voted against mine.
Duly noted. All right. Go ahead, Jamie.
So are we going to establish a process by which these decisions can be made and it be determined whether or not there was damage done to our residents' PRV valve through some kind of work so there aren't, these kinds of issues that we have to take?
I think that's what we're trying to do. I think the report that we got back was the PRV had dirt and rocks in it that were not obviously there before.
Right.
So it looked like it was something we did when we overtook something.
I think
in other cases, if a PRV valve is old and it takes a couple shocks from having water turned on and turned off,
right.
That is, we're less inclined to take that.
And that's fine.
No, that was not mine.
So, and that's fine. All I'm saying is, okay, we've made this determination for this particular one, but what are we going to be doing down the road? What does that process look like? And I don't know that.
I would hope we would do the same thing, determine whether.
Well, hope is not a very good
not a solid process.
I think what you're saying is...
All I'm suggesting is that we figure out how to make it a solid process.
Right, I think what you're saying is we need to be consistent about how we adjudicate
yes,
this.
Exactly.
And I think what Mark is saying, I hope we can be consistent because each circumstance can be totally different.
Sure, sure.
There was no photos of dirt that held that pressure release valve open with maybe her case, but it was in this case. And so that's what I think they're saying is that we were looking at physical proof here, documentation that said this could have been a byproduct of the installation because that
right.
was, you know. So, yeah, it's hard. It's tough because no two circumstances are exactly alike.
Yeah.
And you have to make a gut call on whether you think this is
sometimes
something that
they just wear out.
Yeah, they do. And sometimes they just give up the ghost and have to be replaced.
Yeah,
so.
I had to do that with
mine. All right. Thank you. Anybody else have any questions about the
PRV? I have something to say about this. You guys set a precedence. You said specifically, we will not ever be able to replace anybody's PRV because it's on their side. Not only that, but Mr. Ardito refused to come and look at mine. And not only that, not as a damage just to my PRV, but had I not been there, he would have absolutely exploded my entire basement.
All right.
So he came out to look at theirs, but not mine.
No, he did not. They had their own plumber looking for it.
I had a plumber come up. I sent everything to you, and it was not an old PRV. That is absolutely not true. You just assumed it was old. Assuming it was old, you never asked for any kind of receipts. You never did anything. And it was the first person that ever came here and said, you know what, Ardito needs to take some kind of responsibility when he does something to people's homes, which he should. But you can't set a precedence with me out of my pocket and then pay for theirs. That is absolutely not right. That's the only reason I'm here. And I'm going to say it right here. It's on the recording, hopefully, that what you're doing is going back behind somebody else who already did this just back not that long ago. And said, okay, well, because they decided that they should get their PRV replaced, but mine, no, not me. That's not right.
All right.
Yes, and hoping is not going to, like he said, hoping is not the correct way
did
to do it.
Did you have proof that yours was not an old PRV? I don't recall you providing that. You're asking us to ask you for receipts.
You're coming
upon you
to
provide the documentation.
Did you ask them for their receipt?
No, he brought it and he gave it to us.
You have proof positive as to when they replaced their PRV. And what is considered old, because plumbers will tell you PRVs will last quite a long time.
I guess it's like Councilman Murphy said, it just depends on how many shots it gets. Yes, Dee, do you have a question?
Is the PVR or PRV related to the work that they did in the yard where Mike Senna lives and across the street on Spruce? Was that where the debris came from because they had done work up the hill?
Okay. No. It would have come at the meter forward. So.
Well, I know, but again, not knowing how that water is supplied, but the work was done uphill from where they are.
All
right. So.
All those in favor, designate by a show of hands. It is unanimous. Thank you. Next motion.
I make a motion to pave, to have the closest pay the average water bill rather than the city computed leak adjustment.
So the motion is to have the average water bill.
The average monthly water
bill. As opposed to the leak adjustment form that was provided by the city.
Yes.
Okay.
And I'll explain why. And
okay, once we get in, do I have a second? All right, second by Councilperson Myers. So you're wanting to do the averaging of their prior, how many months?
Whatever, like 3 months.
3 months, is that what we do for averaging?
Well, on our leak adjustment that we do for the city, it's the prior 3 months, yes.
Okay.
And the reason why I'm asking for a dispensation here is that My read of the normal leak adjustment policy is one where no one's really at fault. You don't want to hurt the citizen, but yet the city needs to recoup its water expenses. So it's kind of like when I left my toilet running. So I still had to pay for the water, but I paid for it at a reduced rate, which I felt was good because I accidentally left it running. In this case, it's unbelievable the closest could have used all this water in 1 month. So having them just get a lower rate and yet still pay for 16,000 gallons or however many gallons just doesn't seem right. So that's why I think taking an average monthly bill of the preceding 3 months is fair.
All right, I see what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Any comments or questions? Yes, sir.
Yeah, and that's something that should go into whatever process we develop as a city to make sure it's fair and equitable for both the city and the resident.
And I suggested that we address this afterwards.
Yeah, and in cases like this, this was such a strange anomaly. I mean, like Mark said, there was so much water. Where could that water have gone?
I understand completely. I'm sure
for the first time in years.
Yeah.
I'm sure every day with, you know, one issue that can cause catastrophic devastation.
Yes. All right. Yes, sir.
It don't take much of a leak, Mark. I lost 12,000 gallons in 2 weeks, and it never showed. I didn't find the leak till I dug up 6 foot of my supply line. It went straight to the water table, and there was no evidence anywhere, just like him. But 12,000 gallons were gone. So.
And you have no idea how long that was leaking, right?
We think it was 2 weeks, we're not sure.
Yeah.
But thank God for the new meter, because when they found it, it says zero now.
Right.
But it'll tell you how much you're losing.
All right, any other comments? All those in favor designate by show of hands, and it is unanimous. Thank you.
All right. I'm just going to say this. I just don't think it's
I'm not
right
surprised.
What you're
doing. Go ahead.
I think that you should pay for the PRV. But the fact that you absolutely rejected mine, I would like to know why. I did exactly what they did. My PRV wasn't. You know, I was actually in my house that whole weekend, not able to find a plumber. And Ardito's wife said, oh, he'll come out and look, and he refused. So I not only was it just my PRV that went bad, but, you know, I'm risking my life staying in my home with I have pictures of the meter, of the, I know how to put it on the hose bid.
I think we recall the circumstances on this, and you know, it's a different circumstance.
It's not
really.
Different.
It
Ardito
is.
Ardito worked on something. He made a mistake doing something. He backed water down my street into my house, opened up my PRV, ruined my PRV. I could have been dead in my house because it could have exploded. And you know, he has absolutely no responsibility at all for these type of things because it's inside your house. That's just a bunch of BS. It's right. Just wrong. It's wrong.
All right. I think everybody up here heard you. Thank you. All right. Next item. Are we going to table the consideration for the 4th of July? Did you want to do that?
Yeah, in light of the incomplete information I'm gathering. Yes.
Okay. We're going to table item number 3 for the 4th of July funds to upcoming meeting. All right. Okay, so the last item we have, which I am glad to say that it sounds like council is in agreement, is a annual Joyce and Lou Ayers Day. I think we had some really great suggestions about what this day would mean to the community. It'd be a day of service, a day that we can all come together and do things around the community and honor all of the hard work and commitment that Joyce and Lou had to this community. I got to tell you, that man, Lou, showed up as the court bailiff for years, and he still fit into his uniform, and he still did a good job making sure people behaved while they were in court. So we kind of miss him in that respect sometimes, too. So, Emily, I'm going to ask you. Wait a minute. All right. Indeed. Okay. Emily, I'm going to ask you to talk about a little bit about what some of the ideas were that you, I think, in particular, came up with for this day.
Sure. Well, actually, we're seeking out ideas for community projects. I know Carol had suggested possibly doing any finishing that needed to be applied to the bridge, possibly staining or coating it in some way. But Bill said we're not quite ready for that yet.
And
it
probably needs to breathe and get all the chemicals out of that wood before you seal it in.
Yeah.
It's a great idea. Don't get me wrong.
But we want those chemicals. We do, right?
We needed to dry.
Okay.
So right. We, and I think, Bill, you said you were going to kind of think about something, but we're honestly open in terms of type of project. It's just we wanted it to be something. The first Lewis and Joyce Ayers Day of service will be November 10th, 2023. So We have just a couple of weeks. Yes. So what needs to be done now?
Yeah, that was the day of the original in 2012. What were you going to say?
Okay, well, I was going to say, because I know we didn't motion and approve, for, were we going to do that?
Well, we would need to do that, yes. Okay. So we're talking
that's
about it.
That's why I was getting confused, because we're
yeah, like, but no, what she's saying. Yeah, no, what she's saying is that the original 2012 proclamation for Joyce was November 10th, 2012.
Right.
I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And so the idea was that we would use that date of November 10th.
Correct. Or the closest
weekend. Oh, yeah, or the closest weekend to that date as being the weekend for the recognition and the appreciation of Joyce and Lou Ayers.
Is the 10th Veterans Day?
No, but yeah. I know they switch to Saturday and we've got children
off.
Yeah,
those
they like that.
Yeah, if we did something, I say we do the project in the morning and then we eat the chili.
There you go. Work up an appetite in the morning.
There's plenty of lines that can be worked on.
Yeah. Okay, fine. All right. Good. Just anyone who has an idea of something that you'd like to tackle before it
right.
gets too cold outside, let me know and we will.
Please put this in the form of a motion
right.
to approve the weekend closest to November 10th as the Joyce and Lou Ayers Appreciation Day.
Okay, I make a motion to approve the Lewis and Joyce Ayers Day of Service in the city beginning November 10th, 2023.
But the closest weekend to November 10th, yes.
Correct.
All right, and do I have a second? Second by Councilor Auerbach. Any more discussion, questions, ideas? Please don't hesitate to reach out to Emily or other council members if you like. Let them know what you think would be a great way to recognize all of the contributions that Joyce and Lou have made to this community over the years. So all those in favor designate by a show of hands. And it is unanimous. Thank you. Well deserved. All right. That does it for this this particular agenda. Any last closing comments? Make a motion. Do I have a second?
Make a motion to adjourn.
Yes.
The flyer we are buying. Yeah, John.
She tabled it.
Oh, table.
She tabled, yeah. Granny, we're going to do that. I want to do Joyce's at last. So.
Oh, that's, yeah, never mind. Yeah, we did that first. Sorry. That's
I didn't want to come out of that whole situation and jump right into Joyce's. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I had a second of Carol. All those in favor of adjournment, that's unanimous. Thank you, folks. Good night.
We only have one more cycle to go, everybody.